We're going to get rocking and rolling in about 2 minutes and 47 seconds. If everyone could just drop, if you can, like unless you're driving, but drop a win from this past week in the chat, please. Then we're going to be talking about mindset, but I'm more interested in your wins from this week, or most interested. And also, in addition to that, is anybody new to the coaching calls? So if you're new, just please put your hand up so that we can give you a shout out and welcome you to the group. Or Mats, if you see anybody who's new, please flag them and let me know.
Yeah, it looks
nice
like
you know.
Looks like Sean is here. I think this
Sean?
Might be Sean's first call. Yeah.
Cool. Amazing. Welcome, Sean. Yeah, Nino, that's great, man. Happy to hear that sleep's going well. Any other wins from this week that you guys would like to celebrate? Coaches, is there anything that stands out from any of your clients that are on the call that you'd like to celebrate before we get rocking and rolling?
I think Zach should unmute himself and tell us about his win at the conference.
Well, say it.
Love being called out. Awesome. I attended a week-long convention last week. All the lawyer nerds from across the state get together and have a ridiculous convention for a week long. It's basically I'm up from 4 in the morning till about 10 o'clock every night and in a hotel. And I actually stuck to the meal plan for the whole time out of town, which with this particular group was a huge win for me.
Cool. Congrats, man. Fudge, anything else to add to that, brother?
Yeah, that, you know, Zach being able to do that is not like I roll out of bed one day and all of a sudden I could do that. I mean, his history has shown that those are very challenging times because the old version of himself had developed these negative and bad habits. When this thing happens, we do this. Why? Because it's what everyone else does. And why else? Because what we've always done. It's just how it is. So he had to go kind of against the grain. And he had to have some practice leading into it, which is what we did on our day-to-day things. And there were some scenarios where he was in situations like this before, where he wasn't always able to go 100%, but with enough practice and having some grace and forgiveness, if he had fallen off a little bit, he just got right back to the normal thing. And it became a habit on such a daily basis that when he went to the conference, it was a lot easier for him to do it. So even though it may not have been, you know, if you're on this call right now and you're in a situation, you may not do well at that situation the first time. Hey, just get back on the horse and go back to the basics, the fundamentals, do them every day. And then eventually they become habits and it gets a lot easier as you go on. So big kudos to him. That's all I got to say about that.
I've been going to that for 12 years and I've never not gone and drank into excess at least 4 or 5 nights in a row. There's so much food. There's so much good stuff there that you just want to get into with your friends. And I was actually able to control myself, which is not something that I can normally do.
And how did your body feel at the conference in contrast to previous years?
A million times better. I wasn't wanting to die every morning.
That's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great, man. Well, I'm happy for you. And shout out to Coach Chris for being a part of that as well. Good job, gentlemen. Any other wins that you guys want to celebrate or underscore? Go ahead.
I feel like you should share Megan's win with her world-class ankle flexibility.
Oh, man. Yeah, is Meg on the call right now? Yes, she is. Yeah, Megan's just got like absolutely out, like one of the most beautiful squats I've ever seen. And let's just leave it at that. Yeah, I showed Mats and he was just like, holy moly. Yeah, got a little bit jelly. Metaphorically, of course, because you're like the opposite of soft physically. All right, so let's dig in. So today, you know, the topic is on mindset. Before we dig in, there's a few of you that I haven't met yet. So my name's Etienne. It's French. It's very French. If you can't pronounce it, don't worry about it. Chris has known me for, I don't know, how long, man? 14 years? You still can't pronounce my name.
15 and a half.
So I don't hold it.
I can't spell it either.
Can't spell it, can't say it. But yeah, so Coach Etienne, you can call me Coach E. If you have any questions, no problem. Based out of Canada as well. like many of the good folks on the coaching staff. So let's dig in. So, you know, so the focus for today is mindset. Now, before we kind of dig into the content, we've got a series of things that I'd like to go over with you with today. But what I'd like to do is I want to go over why does mindset matter? I think ultimately, sometimes not discussing perhaps the relevance of what we're talking about can make it perhaps not clear where these perspectives or strategies fit in our lives. So why does mindset matter? Why have this conversation in the first place? What do you guys think? Clients first and then coaches. I'd like you to chime in. Why does mindset matter? Why have this conversation at all?
If you have a fixed mindset, you're unwilling to take in new information and grow.
So fixed mindset, you're unwilling to take in new information and grow. Yeah, absolutely.
If you have a growth mindset, you're willing to expand and get better.
Yeah, expand, get better. And I could see how that would probably affect progress, right? With any goal, regardless of goal, whether it be a relational goal, a body composition goal, a strength goal, you know, a lipid panel goal, right? Any goal can be affected by our state of mind. So yeah, Zach, I totally agree. Anyone else, anything else that you'd like to add to that? Why does mindset matter? Dominic, I'm going to pick on you, man. You always have lots of great insight. Let it rip. Why does mindset matter?
I think mindset really matters because you basically, without the right mindset, you cannot focus on your goal or focus on what you're doing at the moment. You know, if you let your mind wander, it's easy to fall off, you know, and just like you need to have a focused mindset to be able to commit to the meals, commit to the program, commit to life. So, yeah.
You said meals, workouts, and then life, right? So, from micro to macro, mindset matters. Jason says it sets the tone for everything we do. Totally agree. Mindset can create hope. Yep. Nino, absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. Jeff says that it completely changes your perception and experience, which will significantly impact what you're able to achieve. And that actually, you know, Jeff, I'm going to double click on that because I very much agree with that, that, you know, it changes your perception and experience. So I think what you're highlighting there is that the state of our mind actually affects our experience. So it's not just about perhaps reality, the reality that exists objectively outside of you, but it actually affects like your internal kind of subjective reality. And that's really important. I think it's a really important thing to acknowledge. Someone's unmuted. Please go ahead, share what you want to say. Not sure who. Anybody? No? Okay. Megan says, in my experience, it's the thing that will take you out or keep you committed more than anything else. Yeah, I agree. Right. So evidently mindset is something that is really important. And so I'm happy that we're kind of setting the stage here for it. And so we're going to be talking about, first off, before we dig into, so we've already established that it matters, but we're going to just perhaps start by defining what is mindset first and foremost. Then we're going to be diving into and talking about the differences between a fixed and a growth mindset, excuse me, which some of you have already had an introduction to some of these concepts, but it's worth double clicking on and highlighting them further. The next piece that I want to share with you, and I think it's worth noting that all of these things are not the rule, but rather these are just some key concepts that I've personally as a coach found really useful. And they kind of set the stage for decision-making. And so if we don't cover it today, it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter. It just means that it didn't make it into today's presentation, okay? So we're going to be talking about this concept that Simon Sinek repopularized called the infinite game and how that affects the decisions that we make and why sustainability is probably something that's important to consider when it comes to some of the decisions you make. And then last but not least, we're going to talk about like a mental framing strategy that I personally find very useful with my clients. And then I'd like to guide you through a little bit of a reflection in the hopes of you leaving today's call with a few really simple strategies to having some clarity of, okay, what can I prune from my life and add to my life or do more of so as to help me get where I want to be. Does that sound good? Thumbs up if you guys are ready to rock and roll. Fantastic. And then if ever there's any questions, comments, curiosities, please just hang on to them to the end, because we're going to have time to do a Q&A with all of the coaches as well. Cool. All right, let's dig in. So what is mindset? I found this definition online that I thought was really great, and it really parallels, I believe it was what Jeff said. Yeah. And so this definition here is stating that essentially your mindset is a set of beliefs that shapes how you make sense of the world and yourself. And I find that the word that's really important there that I italicized is shapes, because there is a very true objective reality right now that exists. And there's also your subjective experience within that. And both of them are true. And the thing that ultimately, I mean, both matter profoundly, but one could perhaps make the argument that your internal narratives are perhaps the things that will dictate whether or not you tank, as Megan said, or if you move from this place of challenge to triumph and you overcome your challenges. It really kind of boils down to what happens between your two ears. And so this little analogy, in the hopes of making this really clear, which is that, let's say, you know, imagine you were given a diagnosis that you are made of glass and that you can't lift more than 5 pounds without your bones shattering. What would you do? And or what would you not do? Feel free to unmute yourself or drop some feedback in the chat here. What would you do or not do if you fundamentally thought you couldn't tolerate more than 10 pounds because your bones were made of glass and they would shatter? You wouldn't lift it. Yeah, you definitely wouldn't go to 11 pounds. Yeah, right. Would not go near a gym. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Let's think outside of the gym. What would you not do outside of the gym? How would you behave in, let's say, you're walking through a crowded mall? How would you behave? Would you be risk averse? Yeah, you'd behave with narratives of fragility. You'd be very protective. You'd be more thoughtful with all of your decisions. Absolutely, right? You'd try to bubble wrap yourself. You might actually bubble wrap yourself, Meg, right? You'd go out and invest like Costco amounts of bubble wrap, right? Yeah, lots of fear. Yeah, totally. And like, we know, right? And the thing that's interesting is this quote in the movie The Matrix, which I love, which is, you know, Neo is about to get like out of this car and Trinity grabs his arm and she's like, listen to me, Neo, you've been down that road. You know exactly where it ends. And I know that that's not where you want to be. And I find that personally, that's really powerful, because more often than not, we know what are the predictable consequences of our behaviors. And yet we kind of close our eyes to the predictable outcome that we will reap if we continue doing certain things. Like we often know what the outcomes are, and yet we continue to lean into destructive habits. So I personally find that really fascinating. And so on the flip side, you know, if you didn't believe you were made of glass, but rather you thought, you believe that you had the ability to adapt. And so you may experience challenges, you may get injured, you may hurt, but that hurt or that pain or that injury isn't actually catastrophic for you because you have the capacity to adapt. Could you see how that shift in narrative would completely open up opportunities for you in your life? Does that make sense? You guys agree to that? Yeah. Right. And it's obvious, but I think this is really important, is that mindset ultimately makes sense to our beliefs about ourselves and the outer world, and whether or not those beliefs move us forward or whether they constrict us. So do these beliefs that I have about myself and the world, do they empower me or do they cripple me? Right? And there's a really great quote by Einstein that says, one of the most important decisions we have to make in our lives is whether or not we live in a friendly or hostile universe. And he's got a few really great quotes that I love. And that's one of them. And that, for me, I find really speaks to the importance of mindset. And so this is a little bit of a visual representation of what we just discussed, is that there are crippling narratives that just are not a reflection of reality per se, but are stories that we tell ourselves that create very predictable patterns of behavior, result, and then further reinforcing and potentially entrenching a problem. And that relationship of, you know, belief, behavior, you know, reward, and then rinse and repeat is cyclical in nature. And it can either, if you can see me here, it'll either bring you downwards. This looks like a spiral, but if you were to view it from the side, it can either be a downward spiral or it can be an ascending spiral, right? That propels you towards the directives or the directions that you want to go. And so an example of a crippling narrative could be, could be something of, to the effect of like, I can't do this in the gym. Has anyone ever thought that? Like, let's say your coach gives you something in your workout and you're like, nope, capital N, nope. I think that I'm training for a marathon right now and my coach gave me something to do. I'm like, buddy, you're crazy. And initially I was like, I can't do this. And had I listened to that, I would have taken very little action. I would have made zero progress and it would have reinforced the belief that I can't. But here's the thing that's really wild is that using this example, I chose to believe that like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to try and I can adapt and get better. And I went hard and I gave it a shot. I managed to complete the workout, even though it was very difficult. And I got stronger and it validated my ability that it's like, holy crap, I can actually do this. Okay. This is one of the ways in which our mindset and the things that we dare to do in our lives fundamentally shapes our sense of identity, where your sense of self is anchored to the experiences that you accrue in your life. And so if you feel like you're in a rough spot, this is one of the reasons why it's so important to just start doing differently, because how you feel about yourself is informed by your past experience. Okay. So what I'd like you to do is I want you to think about, add this in the chat. What are some examples of crippling narratives, narratives that just don't help you move forward in life, but that keep you small or perhaps lead you to not moving towards things that you genuinely are really interested in? What would be some examples of crippling narratives? Drop them in the chat. Joshua, you said genetics. Are you making reference to like, my genetics suck, I can't do this? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that you can only go so far based off of your genetics, or, you know, it's limiting factor, or you know, it's inevitable.
A good example. Mats, I'm not good at meal prep. Should just order out. Yeah, totally. Meg, yeah, and I want to double click on this because, you know, of course you and I work together, but it's very easy to injure myself. So I will make it worse by pushing. And so therefore we avoid, we get weaker, body gets more sensitive, perhaps more prone to injury, right? I'm too old, I'm too tired, lacking time. Yeah. Can't learn another language. Yeah. Amazing. Great. Great examples here. Amazing. Next, let's flip the script. What are some examples of empowering narratives that you either are actively using currently or that you know exist? You got all day. Examples of empowering narratives. I always get results. Yeah. Yeah, totally. If they can do it, I can do it. Yeah, absolutely. Coach Chris, just do it. No doubt. Just start. Yep, totally. Yeah, that's great, Meg. Reframing your relationship with asking for help. Fantastic. Rome wasn't built in a day. Totally. I can learn how to meal prep. So instead of like, I suck, and so therefore I can't. Being like, maybe I suck currently, but I can learn. And I value how important it is to my current journey in life moving forward. So yeah, I totally agree. Amazing. Great answers here, right? So these are just some further examples of like, I'm not worthy of X, and so therefore you don't dare even try. I'm stupid, or I'm not strong. These are other examples. Examples of empowering narratives be, you know, my worth isn't dictated by my capabilities. And so I'm going to try anyways. I can learn, I can adapt, I can get better. So my question for you is, where in your life do limiting beliefs currently exist? Notice how I'm not asking you if they exist, because if you're human, they already, like, for sure, it's almost a foregone conclusion that they do. So what I'm more interested in is, where do they exist? And you don't need to write this in the chat, but I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to write down, or if you're driving, to just think and make a mental note of, where in my life is there a belief that is objectively not true and it's creating a self-fulfilling prophecy that I don't like? And that can be related to fitness. It can be related to interpersonal relationships. It can be related to food, anything at all. But I need you to get clarity about where you're holding yourself back. I'll give you another 15 seconds. Does everybody have something? Give me a thumbs up in the chat. If you're good to go, give me like a thumbs horizontal if you want another 10, 15 seconds. Or not in the chat, excuse me, in like, you know, the camera, because I'm looking. Thumbs up if we're good to move on, or thumbs horizontal if you want more time. All right, we're going to move on. So the next thing we're going to be discussing here is the difference between the fundamental just differences between this idea of a fixed and a growth mindset. Fixed mindset is exactly what it sounds like. It is fixed and it is resistant to learning. Now, the thing that's worth acknowledging is that usually fixed mindsets stem from hurt. People often will develop a fixed mindset because of past pain and they learn to shut down. So it's in a way, it's something that we can perhaps have some sympathy towards, whether it be towards ourselves or other people when we see these things. And in addition to that, those beliefs that we or others have about ourselves or the world usually just rob us of opportunity. And so examples of fixed mindsets are things like, I can't do this. This work isn't good enough, right? This is too hard. Or once again, other examples like, I'm stupid. I can't learn. I'm bad at math, right? Examples of growth mindsets are mindsets and mental framing strategies that acknowledge our fundamental ability to learn. And in addition to that, these individuals who have a leaning towards a more of a growth mindset state don't value themselves for being right, but they value themselves for trying, truly. They value themselves more for trying and for learning than for being right. And could you see how if you valued yourself for being right, if you are wrong immediately, that sucks, right? That's like, that's a threat to your worth as a human being. And understandably, you may not try things and you would just shut down. If there's any risk of failure, it's a no with a capital N. On the flip side, if you have a growth mindset and you value yourself, you believe in your ability to learn, your worth isn't associated to you being right. You might be the type of person that is willing to try stuff, is willing to fall on your face and perhaps, you know, make an ass of yourself in a certain context, because it doesn't matter. You don't value yourself for being good. You just value yourself for getting better and for making progress towards the things that you care about. And that's really the fundamental difference between these two things. It's almost like it almost boils down to our relationship with failure. Is a big, 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 big difference between fixed individuals and growth individuals. Okay. And the important thing, actually, I made a mistake there. It's actually not fixed versus growth individuals. It's about your mindset within certain categories. Because I know certain people that have fixed mindsets when it comes to like fitness and training. Like I know one athlete in particular who I have in my mind who's an incredible athlete. And I definitely would label them as a growth mindset individual in the athletic bucket. But when it comes to their relationships, everything is their partner's fault. And it's like, nah, man, like there are elements of this that are of your doing. Like we can't get away from that. And so the fixed versus growth mindset isn't just an overarching you know, kind of qualitative difference in terms of like your mind, it boils down to like, how do you relate to things in a context specific manner? So this is another reflection that I have for you, is I want you to reflect on where in your life do you have a growth mindset, and let's celebrate that. And where in your life do you have a leaning towards being more fixed or very fixed and very rigid? I'm going to give you about 15 seconds to think about this. Because once again, awareness is the kind of is a precursor to change. So if you can start to tease out and notice, where in my life am I the problem? One of my favorite expressions is, you know, if it smells like shit everywhere you go, check your feet. Right? It's this idea that like, if problems follow you, probably contributing to some of it, right? That's what I told this guy that I know, who's this incredible athlete. Right? It smells like shit everywhere you go, check your feet. But in any case, once again, what we're talking about here is that growth and fixed mindsets are not just overarching states of mind, but they're context specific. So hopefully you've had some time to reflect on that, and perhaps to tease out a category of your life that might need a little bit of work. Next, we'll talk a little bit about the infinite game. This is a concept that I learned from Simon Sinek about 2 or 3 years ago. I can't remember. And when I learned it, I was like, oh, this is really important, because what the infinite game talks about, and we'll define that in a moment, is the importance of thinking with sustainability in mind and reconciling sustainability and intensity, as we'll get to. So what Simon talks about here is that there's two different categories of games or types of contexts, perhaps, if you will, that we engage in life. There's infinite, or there's finite, and there's infinite. Finite games, one of the best examples of this are sports. Are we recording? Yes, we are. Okay, fantastic. One of the best examples of this are sports. Sports have a predictable beginning, middle, and end. There's an agreed upon objective by both parties, and they choose to compete, working within the constraints and the rules of the game. And ultimately, the goal of a finite game is to win. The goal is to beat your opponent, period, full stop, within the context that has been laid and agreed upon. Infinite games, however, do not have a predictable start, middle, and end. This is a typo. Do not should be here. Okay. The rules are not set and are ever changing. So I'll edit this. Okay. And also the outcome and the objectives are actually not agreed upon by everyone that's involved. Okay. And within infinite games, the goal is to perpetuate the game. It's not to win. Like, win against who? You're not actually competing with anybody. Are you following this? So a really great example of an infinite game is marriage or relationships. There isn't a predetermined start, middle, and end. The rules of engagement are always changing. You're not competing against other couples, although Coach Chris might be. But here's the thing, is that competition or these things are made up stories in our mind. They're not agreed upon by all parties. And the goal of a marriage or a relationship is to perpetuate the marriage, is to perpetuate the relationship. Another good example is business. Like, you know, I worked for Good Life for a long time. The goal of that company isn't to beat another gym chain. That's not the goal, even though they would compete against each other and they would like create this artificial sense of competition. But ultimately, the goal, as defined by that organization, is to help Canadians live a fit and healthy good life. It's something that extends far beyond a limited amount of time. And the truth is that when you play infinite games with a finite mindset, which is let's win, 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 you know, at all costs, you predictably burn out. And in the case of large organizations, you churn and burn people. Predictably, this is what happens when you play infinite games with a finite mindset. And what I want to offer you is that it's very likely that your goals fall into the infinite category. Because within infinite games, you can have finite games or moments where you're pushing really hard towards something. But if you zoom out, if the larger context is an infinite game, we cannot forget about sustainability. And the moment you prioritize intensity over sustainability, and intensity deters sustainability, if success, however you define it in the long run, is tethered to you staying in the game for the long run, in that moment, because you burned yourself out, you've lost. And this is one of the things that's really challenging as coaches. I'm sure you guys can relate this. It's finding ways to push people just hard enough without burning out. Because we could burn people out. That's not hard. It's like, do 500 pushups. Okay, cool. And that might be a really challenging workout, but is it skillful? Is it strategic within the larger context? This is one of those things that for me, I consider often in most of the decisions I make in my life. It's not forgetting about the infinite context of the larger game that we're playing here. So if you're interested in learning more about it, Simon Sinek has incredible talks about this. The book, The Infinite Game, is fantastic as well. Highly recommend that you check it out. It's a really important concept to grasp. And I think it sets the context or sets the stage for a lot of our decision making. And that brings me to this concept here, which is bend, don't break. As we're kind of talking about within this concept, we have these two ideas that are kind of seemingly mutually exclusive, but they kind of potentiate each other a little bit. And the same thing happens with rigidity and flexibility. Tony Robbins said that it's really important to stay rigorously committed to your decisions, but to stay flexible in your approach. And I find that it's a really eloquent way to say, know what you want, but be kind of skillful and flexible in how you go about doing that, right? Because organisms that are too rigid predictably break. They're brittle. And then also on the flip side, organisms or systems that are too flexible have no integrity. They don't stand up straight, right? So you think of like this, these examples here, the CN Tower, if you know, the Canucks and the on the call for sure know what the CN Tower is, and maybe some of the Americans and some of the other clients from around the world as well. But it's this monster friggin' tower with like just tons of cement. But the thing that's crazy is this tower sways, I think, 6 feet or 6 meters from its midline. So it has a total of like 12 feet or meters of sway, this building. When I heard that, I was like, are you kidding me? I'm not going up in that thing. But the truth is that the flexibility that structure has is the thing that makes it resilient. Without the flexibility, it would be like a tree in the middle of winter, which us Canadians, we know very well, right? A tree that has no bend in it breaks. It becomes brittle. And you will also be brittle if there isn't enough flexibility baked into your systems, predictably, right? It's about figuring out, perhaps being skillful about where does that flexibility comes from. Yeah, Meg, her paper hypermobility. Yeah, for sure. Definitely has its advantages, right? So, you know, so it's important to acknowledge that when it comes to your goals, it's important to be rigorously committed to them, but also to have some flexibility in how you get there. Hopefully that makes sense. And then the last concept that I want to share with you that I personally find really useful when it comes to goal setting and really just owning the truth of the entirety of what we're signing up for is this idea of own the cost. Mark Manson has this this saying of pick your favorite flavor of shit sandwich, which I find really funny, but also it highlights something that's fundamentally true, is that every single decision we make, there's two sides to it. We normally make decisions based off of what we're pursuing, things that we want. Yes, I want abs. I want strength. I want insert goal that you're working on. And in addition to that, all of those goals have a cost. There is a discomfort associated with the pursuit of every single one of those goals, every single one. And so it's really important to not only make decisions based off of I want this, but to also own the no bullshit reality of the cost that you're going to have to pay every single day. Every single day. So like, you know, if you're looking to get strong, you can't just lift once. You have to do it again and again. And Coach Chris stepped away, but it's like, you know, the sport of powerlifting is a really great example. What I'm signed up for right now with running, it's a really great example where it's like, sometimes this shit's monotonous and it's boring, but you have to keep showing up. That is part of the cost that you have to pay to get the outcome. When it comes to body composition, there's a cost you have to pay. That cost might be, was it Zach? We were talking earlier about, you know, not going out with the boys at this conference and being disciplined in a manner that is perhaps new to you in that environment, right? That is a requirement for you to get where you want to go. Okay. So it's one of those things that personally I find really important, because if we don't acknowledge the predictable cost we have to pay, or like the hard shit that you have to do on a daily basis, that can deter you and it can kind of knock you off track. Whereas when we own these things, when we make really educated decisions about what our goals require from us, it drives adherence. Because then it's like, yep, no problem. I knew this was coming. I knew this set was going to be difficult on my bench press. I knew I was going to be a little bit hungry. I knew that I'd be saying no to the guys to go out and get some beers on a Friday night. All this stuff, like, I'm cool with that. No problem, because I want this thing over here. And when we don't make that really fully kind of educated decision, that once again can knock us off track. Okay. And so now we're going to start getting into yourself, kind of calibrating your compass, getting in touch again with what your goals are and getting clarity on what needs to change in your life for you to get there. So I want you to write down in the chat, please share with myself and the coaches, what is your goal that you're working on? If you have multiple goals, go ahead and share them. So some examples of goals could be, you know, I want to be 8% body fat by November 1st, right? Maybe you want Ben's calves to look small in comparison to yours. I know that's something that Coach Chris is currently working on right now. Maybe you want Coach Steve to eat raw meat off of your washboard abs. All of these goals are valid, right? What I'd like you to do is take a moment, drop your goals in the chat. Take a few seconds so we can acknowledge them and celebrate them. Which one are you working on, Jeff? The raw meat one? It's me too, man. I get it. I get it. Drop your goals in the chat, everybody. We're not moving on till we get them. What's the goal you're working on? Muscle gain? Movement post meals. Yeah. So even Mats, can you get like more clear on that? What does that look like? Is that a walk? And if so, for how long? You can either drop that in the chat or just having that in your mind is would be enough. Dave, 1 minute strict handstand. Cool. Let's get two more goals in the chat before we move forward. Nice. Jason Mann, 8% body fat goal to reach in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Very specific, very measurable. Awesome. Amazing. Run, jog 60 minutes continuously. Dominic, amazing. Megan, strong enough to dance next year. I like it. I'm going to write that one down. Make note. All right. Feel free to keep your goals coming as we move into the next section. What I want you to reflect on is the person that has what you want. Like, so the future version of yourself that has what you want. What are their daily habits? And I want you to write those down in the chat, please. Please share that with the group. The person that has what you want, what are their daily habits? So essentially, what do they do on a daily basis? 1 to 3 things, please. Nice, Mats. Like the clarity there, brother. That's great. Better time management by Aneta. Yeah. Aneta, can you get more clarity on that? What does that mean? So when it comes to better time management, what are you saying yes to? What are you saying no to? You don't need to drop that in the chat, but that would be, I would encourage you to just define that a little bit more so that way you know exactly what that looks like. Jason, consistency with meals, workouts, sleep, prep. Yep. Morning sun from Josh. Morning sun, family work management. Mediation or meditation, I'm not sure.
Meditation.
Josh is just mediating things. Yeah. Dave, better core and shoulder development, controlled breathing. Awesome. Let's get one more in the chat before we move forward. What do your goals predictably require? All right, next. This version of yourself, who once again has what you want, what do they say no to? So you've already clarified what are they saying yes to on a regular basis. Now what I'm interested in is what are they saying no to on a regular basis? Because as you know, we do have limited amounts of time. You have 24 hours in the day. You may have a limited amount of energy as well. So therefore, to make space for something new, you usually need to say no to some of the old. What are some of the things that you have to say no to predictably for you to reach your goals? Meg, I love that. Future Megan says no to all of the I'm inferior, I can't do this anymore stories. Amazing. Very on point and on brand with our mindset conversation. Come on, team. What do you need to say no to hit your goals? A few more people in the chat, please. Johnny, how about you, man? What do you got to say no to hit your capped delts goals? How about that? Matia, no to fixed mindset, no to victim mentality, no to drugs. Say no to drugs, kids. Dave saying, no, I'm not too old for this. So interrupting that mental script, amazing. Jason saying no to cheat days related to food and drink. Greg, hanging out with certain friends. Absolutely. Right. And so what I want you to clarify here, write this in the chat and or on paper that you have in front of you. Just get clarity on what you need to do more of and what you need to do less of. Really simple. Based off of what you just shared. I need to do more of X based off of the answer you gave of like the future version of yourself that has what you want. I need to do more of these things and I'm going to have to say no to these things over here or do less of these things. So I would encourage you to once again, please share this in the chat and or write it down on paper in front of you. Gosh. Saying no to blueberry collages. I'm friend. I read this as collage. Am I saying that all right, Josh?
Collage.
Collage? Come on, man. Yeah, that sounds like French. For sure that's collage.
There's like
it's not French?
I don't know. So I live in Texas and they make them down. And it's like a big, I don't know. It's Eastern European, I think, but where you find them in Texas is like driving to Austin, Houston. And it's like they're like almost gas stations and they just have this array of baked goods and it's called kolaches. You can get sweet or savory, but we have sweet ones here every day for work and they're my weakness for sure.
Okay. I'm hungry right now. Thanks for sharing. I'll send you my address. Maybe you can like send me one by FedEx or whatever. Yeah. So saying no to blueberry kolaches. Okay. So once again, can one or two of you please share? And actually, I'm going to just pick on somebody. Helio. We're going to chat. What I'd like you to do, my friend, please unmute yourself. What goal are you working towards? And for you to reach that goal, what do you have to do more of and what do you have to do less of?
Let me just tell you.
Yeah, man. Let it rip.
Let's be specific, huh? Let's build 10 pounds of muscle and get down to 12% body fat. How about in 90 days?
90 days. Cool.
End of September.
Very specific. And, that's great.
More of meal prepping and watching my nutrition, and less of alcohol and junk food.
Hey, great. That's awesome, man. That's great. You know, and something as like having that type of clarity can just really help us move forward. So I appreciate you sharing. I'm going to pick on somebody else. Richard, you've had incredible success as of late, my friend. So when it comes to the goals that you're working towards, what are some of the things that you need to continue doing and or do more of? And what are things that you have to continue to say no to perhaps, or do less of?
One of my goals is to get down to 10% from the very beginning. And I want to do that by the end of the year. What I need to do more of for sure would be sleep. That's a definite. I have an issue with sleeping. Not that I can't sleep, but it's just with my schedule and everything, how it goes. And I need to do, I'm good on the workouts, but I could work harder on the workouts. And I need to do less of the, staying up and going to sleep. And then less negativity.
Cool, man. Appreciate you sharing that. Yep. All right. Just want to see here. Unfortunately, when we disconnected, we lost a few people. All right. So hopefully everyone's had the opportunity to get some clarity on what is required for them to reach their goals. So we're going to be wrapping up today in terms of the presentation that's been prepared. What I'd like is to know whether or not anyone has any questions or anything they'd like to add. So coaches, I see Matia and I see Johnny. Is there anything that you guys would like to add to what was covered today that you think would be useful for our clients on the call?
I think that was great. Easy E. That was Easy E is I saw that in our coach's chat. I was like, I'm gonna call him Easy E because it's and it's young, you know. I thought that was an excellent presentation, buddy. That was very good. I couldn't agree more. The mindset, it determines all of your actions, even the ones we're unconscious that we're making. I think a lot of this is we kind of discussed it as if like we're making the conscious decision of yes, I can, or no, I can't. And that sets in motion those kind of cycles you were describing. But a lot of those I can'ts aren't even conscious decisions. It's just simply stuff we're ignoring and that we don't even think about. We don't even let it cross our mind. It's just that, you know, if it's not in front of our face, we're unaware of it. So putting those things in front of your face and saying, okay, am I saying no to this initially without even knowing it? You covered it great, man. Great job.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, I think you brought up a really great point, which is like sometimes another one of my favorite quotes is like, until you make the invisible visible, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. And I think it's Ram Dass who said that. And so like to your point, Johnny, how do you make the invisible visible? The stuff that's, you know, creating suffering in your life. How do you go about that? And or how do you guide your coaching clients through that?
Well, I think right there, you kind of said it in a way. I think having someone in your life that will call those things out for you. So, I mean, we do it as coaches for our clients. We can look at, let's say, like a 16-hour audit, look at their day and say, okay, what are we not doing and what are we doing? What do we need to add in? What do we need to take out? What do we need to say no to? What do we need to say yes to? I think just having someone like that in your life that you you trust and that could deliver uncomfortable information sometimes is incredibly powerful. So I always make sure I have someone like that. I don't just hang around yes people, you know, yes men, as they say. I like hanging out with people who are going to call me on the bullshit, you know, and just say, hey, look what you're avoiding. Look what you can do better in. And accept that and say, yes, you're right. I can make those improvements. And we try to do that as coaches, as long as we get enough information from our clients. So if the communication is there and everything connects well, we're both communicating honestly, the success can be just astronomical. It can be great.
I agree, man. Matthew, how about you, brother? I'm looking at you right now. What do you got to say?
Yeah. My thoughts are that it becomes easier to say yes or no to these questions that you presented this evening if you have a very compelling why below it all, right? So by saying yes to ABC, is that serving my why? By saying no to XYZ, is that serving my why, right? I do also find that saying no to things in the very beginning is the most challenging. So your first no is the most challenging of all, but then it gets exponentially easier as you go along, right? There's also another perspective too, which is like, I would say start with your no's first and then build your yeses. Like I could say yes to moving more after meals, but if I don't say no to the meals that are not serving me, it's not going to be that much more productive, right? If I say no to the meals that are not serving my pursuit of my desired end state, and then I say yes to moving more, now I'm 2Xing the actual ROI on that decision.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, man. And I think like what you're highlighting there as well is like that the strategy that's going to work for you is A, going to depend and perhaps vary person to person. And it might also vary season to season. And just really kind of like, you know, trial and error and do what works, you know? So I appreciate you sharing that, brother. That's great. So we've got a few more minutes for questions. We got about 4 minutes before, we'll go 4.5 minutes because the call wrapped. So we'll add an extra 30 seconds for you guys. So we'll dig in some questions. Greg, you have a question here that I think is really great. And so I'd love for you to perhaps expand on it, my friend.
You know, I was actually just thinking of a separate question. I mean, I'm sitting here talking with my fiance through that question.
You're only allowed one, man. Only one.
No problem. Here's one question. Are there any activities you do or work on to help with, like hand-eye coordination that ultimately leads to better brain health, anything like that?
Very specific. Can I ask why you're asking that question?
As far as like athletics go and bettering yourself in golf and, you know, other things that I participate in, I was listening to a podcast about how certain like small activities such as, you know, here's a random example, covering one eye and throwing a ball up against the wall and really focusing on that hand-eye coordination, does that ultimately expand brain matter? I know that's a crazy question, but
sure. Yeah. Thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This is kind of in my wheelhouse. But yeah, like this stuff, you know, novel experiences done intense enough are neurogenic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could do exercises, like coordination exercises that are easy for you or, you know, may not be sufficient enough of a stimulus to catalyze, you know, like synaptogenesis of like new synapses being made and new skills being developed. So it does require a certain amount of intensity. The question is, where do you start? Usually that's the tricky bit.
Right.
And so, you know, like, so I've worked with some, you know, individuals who have been like paralyzed or stroke victims and stuff like that in the past. And normally, like one of the ways that we go about it is, especially if they feel disconnected from a certain part of their body, like when they're not using their eyes, they don't necessarily know where a certain part of their body is in space, which is a fundamental requirement to engage with the world, right? Like you have your internal map, you have your external map, and then you use both of those maps to navigate, essentially. So if one's inner map is perhaps not as clear as it could be, one of the most regressed ways where you can start is moving the limb that you where you want to improve the motor control. Do complex movement within that area with focal vision, so you're looking at the area. So let's say if you want to improve the mobility of your hand and you have trouble doing like figure eight type of like movements and complex nonlinear things at your hand, you would start off by looking at it while you're doing it to help those connections be made. And then you would move to peripheral vision. And then you could also go eyes closed. And then you start layering in other stimuli like fatigue, added load, multiple repetitions, and those types of things. It's kind of a tricky thing to answer, but it is possible. But I would say, you know, you could essentially just do the thing you want to improve at and just do it with sufficient intensity and volume. And usually that's enough. That's what people call practice.
Right. No, I'm just thinking because just thinking back to when I was a little bit younger playing golf, I just had this I feel like just a better sense of hand-eye coordination when just playing random sports. And I want to get back to that sharpness.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I would say start putting yourself in contexts where you notice the deficit and persist through it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
So that could be anything, right? It could be like brushing your teeth with your left hand.
Yeah, that's on a smaller scale.
Right. Yeah, man. Hopefully that helps. And also I was joking about the only one question limit. So if you want to ask another one, we'll circle back in a moment to see if anyone else has any other questions. If not, we'll double click on that initial question of yours.
All right, very good.
Does anyone else have any other questions before we wrap today?
I got a question, NSF. I really love what you talked about today, NSF. And I just been getting a lot of clarity now, and my mental health is improving. And so my question is, literally, how can you basically grasp an idea of beliefs? How can you know your beliefs and grow from them? How can you identify them?
Can you repeat your question? It cut out a little bit on my end. Sorry, Dominic.
It's like, how can you have a belief system and like literally grow from them, you know? You understand?
I think so. Johnny, do you have any ideas on this, brother?
I'm thinking. That's a tough one. I mean, I think it's a multifaceted approach as far as understand. Are you saying like you have a belief that you want to let go of, Don?
No, it's because of my mental health improving, a lot of clarity and focus. And I'm reading materials, different materials and that stuff, and trying to grasp, do I believe in this? Or is it just words that come into my head? It's like, this is like really because of my mental health has so much improved. I've never learned to how to form belief systems in my mind and grow with that thing. And that's living. I feel like it's like type of a mindset appeal. Sure. Unless there's books that could help me with that, I'm open with that too.
So there's something that comes to mind for me, which is, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but I'll shoot my shot. And, you know, like a few years ago, I kind of had this a similar moment of clarity where I was like, who the heck am I? And like, what do I value? And sitting with that question was a really important one. And so I wrote down my values. Like, what are my values? And perhaps which ones are more important than others. Like, I think like Ben's a really great example about this because, you know, he's talked about this many times where I think like one of his top values is family. And so you know, when push comes to shove, when he needs to make a decision between a variety of different things that he appreciates, anything that takes away from family gets axed immediately, because he has this clarity that he's like, yep, family is number one for me, 100%, right? So I would encourage you to just to reflect on perhaps two questions. The first is just the very direct one, which is, what are my values? If you're not sure what your values are, maybe start by defining what they aren't. That can sometimes help. And then the third thing, so what are your values, or what are not my values? Absolutely. And then the third would be, what type of man do I want to be? And maybe those questions will help, you know, prompt some questions for you and help you clarify the belief side of things, because I find those things are usually, you know, very closely related. Johnny, anything you'd want to add to that, my friend?
Yeah, no, I think exactly what you said. I was going to kind of have a similar idea as far as writing down what your beliefs are, and you just said it perfectly. So no argument there. That sounded great, but it is just how the human mind works. Like, I don't know how I'm going to end this sentence. I simply speak, and at the end of it, my brain goes, yep, that's kind of what I meant to say. I agree with that. But I didn't know I was going to end with the word that, or if I was going to pause just there. It just happens, and my brain goes, yep, that's me, that's Johnny, that's how he talks. So that's a normal situation. If you become aware of it, it can kind of make you think about what goes into thought versus speech, and, you know, and that leads to behaviors and leads to beliefs. But yes, I think clarifying them in a written form is hugely beneficial to go back and review and say, okay, does this thought or does this belief or does this behavior that I'm taking on match my written, agreed upon goals or values, whatever you're writing down? So yeah, I think that was great. Yeah. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah. I love the way you said, like, the brain process. It's like you say something and then you don't know how the end's going to end out, but you agree with that. And I wasn't sure. I think for me, I do that sometimes. I wasn't sure, is that something different or do other people do that? And since you shared that, I was like, oh, okay. All right.
And you guys are broken, actually. I don't do that at all.
I'll be broken with you, Dom. No, I think everyone does that. If anyone knew how they would end every sentence and they had planned everything out as if it was pre-scripted, that's a special kind of person.
Thanks, guys.
Well, listen, my friends, we're gonna wrap up there. Thank you so much for your attention and also your participation today. I hope that it was valuable to you. Just keep in mind that, you know, ideas without action are, you know, quite literally worthless. So if you had any insight this evening, circle it and move to implementation right away. Lean on your coach for support. And I look forward to seeing you guys all next on our next group call next Wednesday. Have a nice evening. Bye-bye.